Let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the time that we've had, we've shared this week already. Lord, I pray that this would be pleasing to you, our session would be pleasing to you, and ultimately helpful for all of us as we wrestle with the question of why should we change? What is the issue of motivation, and what are the proper motivations for why we do what we do? Father, I pray that you'd be working in the hearts and lives of those who each of these persons will be going back to minister to. Especially for those who are in ministry already, we pray that you'd protect their ministries this week and allow them to be able to remain here to complete the training. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve you and the capacities that you've equipped us to do. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise and glory for all that. Help us to be good stewards of it. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to open my time by having us think about the concept of motivation. In fact, I'd like to begin with this passage right here. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And I'd like to read just a couple passages before in Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning in verse 20, it says this, "My sons, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not depart let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are to life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." See, he's communicating to his son. And he's saying, "Son, I want you to listen to me. And one of the things I want you to pay attention to is watch over your heart with all diligence. Because for it starts here that things start going outward. Our reactions, our thoughts, our actions flow from what comes inside. They're not simply reactions to something. We do what we do for a reason. My son, speeches are all over Proverbs 1 to 9. Proverbs 1:10. He says, "When sinners entice you, do not consent." Chapter 2, "My son, listen to my instructions. Heed the words of your mother." Over and over again, he's appealing to his son. And one of the things we find in Proverbs 4 is be careful. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You see, every one of you here came to this conference for a reason. We appreciate your sacrifice. We appreciate your willingness to take the time off this week in order to be here. And you know, for some, you might be here because you'd say, "You know what? I need a break. It's been kind of tough recently. And I need to step away for just a week and be refreshed. Because I've had some challenges. I've got some difficulties that when I get back, they'll be there. But I needed a brief time of respite from that. To get filled up rather than just to give." Maybe some of you would say, "Well, I came to this conference because I've come before. And it's really helped me put some things together that maybe I didn't have together before. And I want to come back for more." Maybe someone else would say, "I came because my pastor asked me to come. He wanted me to be part of this, and so I came because he wanted me to." The bottom line is, you came for a reason. Sunday night, when we had topic options night, there were some folks who were here. And what do you think some folks were doing? Watching the Super Bowl, right? And for some, you know, it was candy-coated with a nice outreach event. And others, it was a legitimate outreach event. And others, it was just, "Man, I'm dying to watch the Super Bowl because my team's in it. And so I'm going to be here for that. I'm going to watch it for that." The bottom line is, we do what we do for a reason. In fact, our session today was put together for a reason. It was a motivation that I had in even organizing this particular session in the way it's organized. The first one is because some people do the right things for the wrong reasons. You experienced that before? folks doing the right things for the wrong reasons, folks coming to you and asking you for some help, and they're willing to listen to you because they want things to be different. It's been hard. It's been challenging. They want something different. For some, it's they're just tired of fighting in the home. I'm just tired of going home and fighting with my honey. I'm tired of going home and having to discipline my children every day. I want something different. Some of you can relate to that, right? I don't know about you, but when I get home, I don't want to be fussing with my wife. I don't want to be messing with challenging issues because of my sinfulness with my kids. I want to go home and I want to have fun. I have an 8-year-old. I have a 3-year-old. I want to play ball. I want to wrestle. I want to hug my wife. I want to be at home and have fun. And we can understand that, right? And there's some folks who, when that's not happening, they want to come. They're willing to listen because they want that. Well, sometimes they're just trying to get out of some trouble. Yeah, for example, there have been times when an individual has been caught in pornography by their spouse or maybe by their mom. And they're willing to go because they want to make amends. They want to get out of the trouble. And their motivation is, I don't want to have this strife between me and the person who caught me anymore. And if that is what it will take to make it happen, fine, I'll do it. Or what about this one? Sometimes their actions have prevented them from having what they want. Whether that is a new house, a new car, a better relationship. And so they said, I'm willing to come and listen to you because the truth of the matter is, I want these things. Now, does anyone have a problem with some of these motivations? Now, there's a sense in which we can understand them. Because we want to have the kind of marriage where we have a very loving relationship with our wife and our husband. We want to have great relationships with our kids. We want that. But when we make that our first and top priority, we're doing the right things for the wrong reason. I'd like to push this idea a bit further and ask the question, what happens if the pressures and challenges that brought a person into counseling start to go away, but they never figure out that it is rooted, their motivation needs to be rooted and grounded in their relationship with God? What happens? I would like to suggest this chart. I've called it the motivation flow chart in your notes. And here's the way it starts. We start on sinful habits. And those sinful habits have produced some consequences. And those consequences have resulted in some very unpleasant things happening in my life. And so therefore, I'm willing to go to counseling in order to get rid of those unpleasant things. But the question is, did the person in counseling grasp the concept of proper motivation? And I'd like to suggest to you that if the answer to that is no, they didn't, then one of two things is happening. Either they're reverting back to their old sinful habits, or they're actually creating new ones. Let me walk through a scenario here. I come to counseling because I want my marriage better. And because I want my marriage better, I'm willing to listen to whatever you have to say in order to make it better. And that's my motivation. And it gets better. I have done the right things so that I got what I want. What happens if 5 years down the road, I don't want that anymore? My kids have grown up. They're out of school now. What if I don't want that? I don't want that relationship anymore. Now what happens? I have developed a concept where my motivations, my wants, my desires drive me to do what I want. And the fact is, I still have sinful habits. They're just different ones now. I've just gotten more creative. I've taken care of a few of these, but I haven't dealt with this.